The August 26 attack on the Shiite community living in East Java's Sampang district was the second in 12 months. Amnesty International's Indonesia campaigner, Joseph Benedict, describes what happened.
There were about 500 people who gathered outside their village, an anti-Shia mob, and attacked the community with sharp weapons and stones. One person was killed during the attack and dozens were injured. The mob also set fire to about 35 houses belonging to the Shia community.
Joseph Benedict says it's believed to have been incited by local Sunni leaders.
They mobilised many of the villagers to attack the community. What we heard is that there's been a lot of incitement against the Shia community for many months leading up to the attack. And we also are aware that the police were aware of the attack before it happened.
Since the attack, the 165 Shias have been living in a sports complex near their village. But late last month, local officials stopped providing food and medical supplies to the relief centre, saying it was too expensive. Since then, conditions have deteriorated and several children have fallen ill. Mr. Benedict says the community has now been given a six-week ultimatum by provincial authorities to convert or move.
They've been told that they are given until March to make a decision to convert into Sunni Islam if they want to return, or if not, they've been given two other options. They'll be relocated to another part of East Java, or in fact relocated outside of Java Island.
Rights groups say religious intolerance, violence and intimidation are all on the rise in Indonesia. According to local rights watchdog, the Setara Institute of Peace, attacks on religious minorities have increased steadily since 2009, with more than 370 acts of violence committed last year alone. Bonar Tigor Naipospos is the Institute's deputy director.
The target is Christian minority. And the second is the Ahmadiyya, and the third is Shia, and the fourth, the Islamic State, they are accused because they are deviant or heretic.
The violence flies in the face of a national government commitment to protect religious freedom, which President Yudhoyono's government reaffirmed last year to the United Nations. Dr. Greg Feely is an associate professor in Indonesian politics at the Australian National University.
It's not uncommon for President Yudhoyono to make these kinds of very worthy-sounding statements. And often when there is an incident, he puts pressure on officials to make sure that action is taken, that the perpetrators are arrested and prosecuted. But what he often doesn't do is pull into line ministers who are making very provocative or counterproductive remarks, such as the Minister of Religious Affairs. And one reason he probably doesn't do that is because he relies upon the support. He's very grateful for the support that he gets from that minister's Islamic party, the United Development Party. And he also doesn't want to be accused of being too sympathetic towards what are, in some sections of the Muslim community, regarded as troublesome minorities.
Despite the national government stressing its credentials on religious freedom, and despite Indonesia's peak Muslim body, the National Ulama Council, repeatedly asserting their belief that Shias are part of the Muslim community, the Minister for Religious Affairs has said he regards Shiites as deviants. Dr. Feely says this has put pressure on Shiite Muslims across the country to become Sunni. But the displaced Shias in East Java say they're not going to convert and they're not moving either. With elections due to be held next year, many believe the government is unwilling to step in and resolve the situation.
That makes this a very sensitive topic because Nahdlatul Ulama, which is so powerful in East Java, has a very unsympathetic attitude towards the Shia. This is not necessarily the attitude of Nahdlatul Ulama at the national level, but it certainly is within East Java. And that means that there's a lot of political pressure upon candidates not to grant any concessions towards the Shia, not to be protective of them. So I suspect we will also find that the Ministry of Religious Affairs is going to continue its current attitude, its current policy of trying to get Shia to convert to Sunni Islam.